We're continuing on in these wondrous enlightenments of in Christ. And what joy it is to receive from the Spirit, yea, the deep things of God. And I thank the Lord that He's there to take the things of Christ and show them unto us. But I thank God each time we get together, thinking back how good He is. He feeds us like He feeds the little birds, you know. And I pray we really know that. We are. You thank God. Sometimes I think, Lord, most times You have to open my mouth to receive it, like, you know. But I thank God He causes me to be hungry. He causes us to want to feast on it. But the immensity of revelation that He continues to pour out, and I think about last week, how wondrous to really receive who we are in Christ, what we have in Him. I thank God that when He assures us and tells us, honey, you're not reborn, you're born again. You're born of Me. You're My son. And I'll tell you, we better really start delighting in that and understanding how privileged and what grace has met us and that we've received. But I think it's very fitting as we come to this next in Christ, right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. It says there, Paul says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I think that's such an amazing and such a powerful statement that Paul is understanding as he's getting here to the end of writing to these saints at Corinth. Honey, I've given you the strong meat by the grace of God. It's been poured forth. You better understand how simple this is. And this word, simple, it means singleness. I love that. There's a oneness. There's just one message. There's just one way, I thank God. There's just one faith. It speaks also of sincerity, but this simplicity also means generosity. Think of the generosity that's been given to us in Christ. The riches, exceeding, abundant, above all we ask or think. Then you think of the simplicity in all of those things, and my heart just goes right back to Galatians 2:20, that, brothers and sisters, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But now this life that lives in me, it's Christ that lives in me. Amen? And this life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I believe there's many verses in the Word of God that encapsulate this simplicity, but maybe no more better than that verse right there. The only life we have, the only life we live, is Jesus. That's the life, praise God. And how that life lives, it lives by faith. It lives by this precious word. So we can conclude and say, well, it's only His life. And it was only His life from the moment of salvation. As we read last week, old things are passed away. And they're not just in the past. They are gone from all existence. As if they never were. As if they never were. I am crucified with Christ. In Christ in ages past, I entered into His eternal life, Alpha, Omega life. Oh my. All things have become new. Hallelujah. I'm a new kind. I like that. I'm His kind. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what it is. It's the heavenly life, and that's the sons of God in Christ, and it is that simple. We died and He lives in us. And we live only, brothers and sisters, by believing the Word of God. That's it. That is our life. praise his name. Now, we believe this word, and is not the word Christ? Is this not word our precious Lord? Praise the Lord, which is our life. And really think about that. I mean, really think about that, that we are believing the word, which is our life. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the earthly man, I understand that. You know how he lives? By breathing, by eating, by drinking water, under the physics of this world, all of this world's knowledge. But the heavenly man lives by the word of God. And that's what we've been born. Not earthly anymore. We're born of him, heavenly. That's our life. Praise God. Don't you love faith? Because you can't see it. You can't feel it. You start to really tell, and I'm not talking about just people. I'm talking about Christians, really. You speak that to them. They think you're nuts, but they don't know the word of God. And that's why I'm just so thankful. You want that extreme faith like we read the faith of our fathers? That was extreme faith. Well, that's the same faith you got. There's only one faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. That's extreme faith. Because that's the life that you live. Isn't it wonderful to have a spirit like Abraham? You don't know where you're going. Called you right out of an idol shop. You weren't seeking him. And you just took off. And your life never changed. You never really knew. But the one thing that he was seeking was a city whose builder and maker was God. Now that's a wonderful thing. He was looking to see it, to be there. I thank God. Now we have a better thing. We're seeking, praise God, to be those precious stones in the city, you see. Amen. It doesn't change. It's still that precious, wondrous faith. Faith to, well, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, we're not going this way. Well, fine, I'm going to turn up the furnace and we're going to do all these kinds of things. And, you know, those kings, they just lost their mind. Just like the same rulers today. And they're going to throw those kids into the furnace. Well, I'll tell you what. There was extreme faith. God gave it to them. They're believing God. They believed that was a divine appointment. It was either a divine appointment to see him face to face, or they were going to see him in the furnace. You understand that? No matter which way they were going, they knew they were going to see him face to face. An extreme faith to where they come out and God showed them. It wasn't just you survived and you came out there all singed and burnt. And wow, how'd you guys make it? They came out of there and there wasn't even any hair on their head that was singed. Their clothes. Nor did they even smell of smoke. Would you call that a heavenly life? Do you see what I'm saying? See how God can preserve you? By the grace of God, that's the perfect love we need to have that casts out all fear. And the only way that that happens is just like a Daniel, just like those three Hebrew children. They were in the Word of God. They sought the Word of God. They believed the Word of God. Amen? And that's what God has given to us. So it is that simple, and I thank the Lord. But now with this assurance of who we are in Christ, we move on to one of my favorites of all of in Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's go and read verses 1 through 5. Paul says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one," meaning a man in Christ, "caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man in Christ. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he," the man in Christ, "was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Not a man in Christ. It all changed right there. It's not worthy for, or it's unlawful for a man to utter. Notice how that all changed. He was caught up, such a one. Now it turns to, it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one, now we're back to the man of Christ, will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Now, how wonderful this is, what we can only receive in Christ. Paul could have never had a vision of the man he hoped to be. Do you realize that? This was the man that Paul would ever hope to be. That fully finished, perfect man in Christ. I always love how Brother Hill would come to this portion of scripture. And he would say, oh, the man I hope to be. Praise the Lord. And what a marvelous vision that was for precious Paul to see what a man in Christ could be taken to and grow up into. The heights of heaven, the throne room, is where he had to go to be shown this vision. Notice that. Amen. Think of that. He had to be taken to the heights to be able to see this. It was a vision that was given to Paul so that he would begin to know the depth and completeness of who and what we are in Christ. And if by faith, and faith, praise God, from the truth, and I will say this, from the truth we heard last week, we'll see with Paul into that third heaven, because in Christ, it's ours. Oh, yes, amen. In Christ, this is ours. Settle into this tonight. We're getting fidgety. Paul knew a man in Christ. This is what he knew. And that means Paul saw a man in Christ. Paul saw himself in Christ. And he saw himself in Christ in the third heaven. I love that. Perfectly and fully finished. Now, I'll tell you what in exceeding enlightened eyes of understanding we can have in Christ if we will just believe. Amen. Amen? Amen? Paul, he was shown this. How was he going to attain that? Just like all the other worthies of faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews, by faith. There was no other way that you would ever be able to see that except by faith. Now, we thank God for these things. And I really want to stress here, once again, as Paul was brought up into that place to see this, he said, the man in Christ heard, see there in verse 4, unspeakable words. That means he heard words that were unknown, which are not lawful for man to utter. That word A shouldn't even be there. It's not lawful for man to utter. And I want to stress that. He said for man to utter, not a man in Christ or such a man. He heard inexpressible things that it is not permitted for a man to speak. That's why he says in verse 5, of such a one, meaning the man in Christ, the full-grown man that he saw and heard, the man that he hoped to be, that's why he said, of such a one I glory in. Because that was the masterpiece man of grace. All right. Now, here we go. So know this. This does not mean that Paul's in Christ vision would never be told. Because it was. And here it is. Paul here was shown this man in Christ 14 years prior from this time of writing this letter in 2 Corinthians. That would put Paul back at the time of his way on the road to Damascus. Right then. Put him right at the time when Ananias received him. And he received the Holy Ghost. At that time, think of this, brothers and sisters. At that very time, how amazing, the Lord gave him the vision of the measure and the stature and the fullness of the full, mature, ruling and reigning man of God right from the very beginning. From the very beginning. He allowed Paul to see a full vision of the man that he hoped to be right from the start. And then he took him on a lifetime of truth and love to reveal it to Paul. For Paul to grow up into it and to write and to explain what he saw, that man in Christ grown up in the fullness of Christ, that man in Christ filled with all the fullness of God. All right? Now, he would write about this vision 4 years later from this time of 2 Corinthians. He wrote about this vision in a letter called Ephesians, in a letter called Philippians, in a letter called Colossians. That was, just think of that. And then that was 18 years after, not just 14 years after, that was 18 years after. 4 years after he writes this 2 Corinthians letter, Paul by the Spirit did reveal what he saw, the deep things of God in detail throughout his epistles. Now, Paul saw these things, but it took him time. It took time for him to grow up into them. And it did. He saw that vision, but it took time to know him, to write about him by the Spirit. As I said, it took 4 more years from this time of 2 Corinthians for him to write Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. And then finally, it took another 4 years after that for him to write 1 and 2 Timothy. Now, think about what the Spirit showed to Paul and to us in those last letters. How about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Amen? The good pleasure of his will in Ephesians? How about Christ in us, the hope of glory in Colossians? And then finally in 2 Timothy, the exalted rank of righteousness crown, not to just him only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So, these were revelations Paul wrote years after this letter to Corinth. Once again, he wrote things like filled with all the fullness of God. I'm going to ask you something. Is there anything more than that? To be filled with all the fullness of God, is there anything more than that? Amen. Come on. Come on. When he wrote that we would grow up into a perfect man to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, is there anything more than that? Nope. There isn't. Is Christ in you? And as it said in Colossians, that Paul was given the gospel that would complete the word of God. Is there anything more than that? Do you think Paul wrote it all? Do you think Paul, as he said, I have not withheld a thing? Amen. Do you lack anything? Has the truth not been told? There is no more that could be seen than what he wrote, brothers and sisters. And I want to go on a little bit further tonight. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 1. I sure love you. I think we get excited about these things together. Revelation chapter 1. And you know, thank the Lord, we understand and we know that without Paul's epistles, we would never understand Revelation, would we? We'd never be able to see into it. We'd never really fully grasp any of it, let alone to be able to take those things in Revelation and then have Paul's gospel enlighten all of those wondrous things that were written for us by the prophets in the Old Testament. But it brings them to life, doesn't it? They pop out on a page and they, well, my goodness, it's there and there and there and there. And this is what this is. And it all just perfectly falls into that wondrous, beautiful pattern, the bride for the son. It doesn't change. It just always is like that. It opens up all the hidden things. And you think about this here in Revelation, we're going to read here in just a second. But this was John. And John was taken to the same place as Paul. We're going to read about that in just a second. And John, praise God, in great detail he writes, and he tells everything that he sees and he hears. Do you know that? He does. Because John is given the power to understand the language of heaven. You do need power to understand what's said in heaven. You know that, don't you?
Amen.
Yes, you do. All right. You're going to understand that in just a minute. And he had to have been given the power to utter it. And you know what language that he learned up there, and that he was, I should say, that he was able to understand. It's called the trumpet language. You know the trumpet language? I believe you're learning it, praise God. Me too. We're learning the trumpet language. But the trumpet language, if you will, is right there in verse 10. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Oh, yes. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou hast seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. So we see right there, not only did John hear these things, John by the Spirit wrote these things. Praise God. All right. And he's standing there on the Lord's day. Let's go on over to chapter 4. And let's read this here. Now, here he goes again. He said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. And what was that trumpet doing? It was talking with me. A trumpet was talking with me. See, if you'll have an ear right now, there's a trumpet, praise God, that's talking right now. Amen? He's talking to you. And you got to understand and know that voice. And that trumpeter's voice, oh my. That's a bridegroom's voice, praise his name. But that trumpeter was talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. All right? And immediately, I was in the Spirit, just like old Brother Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But God knows. But God knows. But see, John says, I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. John was taken up into heaven, right into the throne room. I'm talking about the throne room right where Jesus Christ was sitting. And he sees him sitting right on that throne. And he's right there. What's more than that? Huh? Well, it does get better. Hold on a second. Now, John writes this, that Jesus is sitting on the throne. But then, right after that, he sees the Old Testament worthies of faith sitting on 24 thrones round about that throne. And then he sees the bride, moments later, seated right in the midst of the throne with Jesus, while the 24 elders are sitting right around the midst of that throne. And then, praise God, he sees and he hears the Old Testament worthies singing to Jesus and his bride in verse 11. Here's what they say, and they sing. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. Oh, isn't that something? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive her. Glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure. I always appreciate our precious brother Joe bringing out Psalm 16. That pleasure. Ooh, the cherubim pleasure. They are and were created. I had to go looking up that word created today. By the way, it means intimate fellowship after his likeness. Isn't that just too much? Intimate fellowship after his likeness. Think of what that just said there. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, these cherubim, because that's what that pleasure means. It means the cherubim. They are and were for your intimate fellowship after your likeness. No wonder those four living ones are just like him. Amen? See how perfect that is? But see, John understands this, doesn't he? Because he's given that understanding. And John is right there in the midst of the throne room describing this. Jesus, his bride, the 24 elders. The time of that glory being received right in to the midst of the throne. The praise that's going forth later on in chapter 7. You're going to have that same thing, but then there's an innumerable multitude that joins them. And they're waving palms in front of that mighty throne. And they're crying out, salvation to our God. The roar. As it said even in the 5th chapter, 100 million angels are around that throne. Crying out. My, oh my. Now, we could go on and on throughout Revelation. We'd be here all night, all day tomorrow, long time after that. And we could talk about all these things. But you know what? This is what the Apostle Paul saw way back in the third heaven in that man in Christ. Now, I'm not saying maybe exactly that. But he saw that fully finished man. He did. And he wrote about it. Amen, he did. And as we rejoiced earlier, Paul wrote of it. Because he wrote of the joy of the bride. Do you think in Romans 8, do you think that was pretty joyful? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be, that we suffer together with him. That we may be glorified together with him. Huh? And that all of creation groaneth. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. We understand that encouragement. But I also understand by the grace of God that these were things that Paul was seeing. And understanding was something that was given to him in Revelation as he went on after he saw those things. Now, this is what's so beautiful. Even though Paul never read Revelation. He didn't. He was in heaven before the time that John wrote this. Did you know that? So Paul never read it. But I'll tell you what, he saw it all. And he wrote the way of completeness of the bride. Yes, he did. Remember Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Hallelujah. But see, it's John here, the disciple that Jesus loved. He fills in the picture with living color, real-time scenes of what we are about to enjoy. Amen? Praise God. The Holy Ghost enlightened eyes of understanding of the bridal revelation in Paul's letters is what Paul saw and rejoiced in. Now, how also can we be so confident? God said he's not a respecter of person. I'll tell you this, Paul was not given more than you or me. He wasn't. Oh no. Jesus Christ, through Paul, said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. And that is the truth. Paul was merely given it first to magnify grace. And that is the truth. That chosen vessel was for one thing, to magnify the grace of God. Oh, yes. I've got the most evil one that ever walked. He even admits it. And through that vessel, I'm going to bring the message of the bride for the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. He was the chosen vessel to bring it forth so we could hear and see and enter into the revelation and the knowledge of it. I want you to think about Ezekiel. Do you remember there in the first chapter of Ezekiel? I believe Ezekiel was taken somewhere, wasn't he? the river Kabar. And how, my, oh my, he saw a glimpse of the cherubim, didn't he? But you know, with Ezekiel, he hears the voice. Matter of fact, he calls the voice of the cherubim. He says, the cherubim's wings were as the voice of the Almighty. But you know, Ezekiel never interprets one word, not one word, of what that voice said. All he does is be able to write of the experience of it. But he was taken there. And the Spirit said, write these things. Now, once again, Paul never got to read Revelation. But Paul saw the fully finished perfect man in glory. The very one that John, as he has been taken through here. Remember old John falling down and worshiping that fella? And that guy keeps lifting him up and says, John, stop that. I'm redeemed by the blood, just like you, John. You'd think one time would have settled that. But I'll tell you what, you're around that kind of glory. There's only one thing you can do. You've got to bow down. You see why they're going to bow down? It's because she has the glory of God. She's got it. She's got it. She descends from heaven having the glory of God. Hallelujah. But see, I love this because John falls down and worships that one, as it says there in Revelation. One of those four living ones in the midst of the throne. That's exactly. And I sincerely believe, and we've spoken of this many times, think of this. The one most likely John is falling down and worshiping there in heaven is probably the Apostle Paul. A good chance. Just saying. But isn't that interesting? The Apostle Paul, John taken in the future in the Spirit, and Paul now seen as the man, fully grown man in Christ, he gloried in the man he hoped to be. And John sees him there. Now, Paul did not receive a better crown, brothers and sisters. He didn't. He said, the same one that I'm receiving is for all them also that love his appearing. Huh? I think I want to grow in that love. How about you?
Amen.
And I thank God that he dealt with me about a week ago on that. Didn't know we'd be there tonight. But I do thank the Lord for what I see in Christ. Just take a walk in the Spirit, and he'll show you these things. I thank God that he tells us, he that wills to know will know. And I thank the Lord that there's nothing that's been held back now. We're in that time of Esther. What's mine is yours. What do you want to see? Did not the Lord say, I've sent you the Holy Spirit, that he takes some of the things and show them to you? A few of the things, quite a few of them. Or did he say, all the things of Christ and show them unto you? So once again, I ask you, what else is there? Get bold in Christ, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, get bold. You just be happy and joyful. You won't be arrogant. I promise you. You get bold in the Lord, it's the most humbling thing you'll ever have. You're just in a wonderland pretty much all the time. You're just... Because that great love will turn that faith on. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the things that I have heard. I'm thankful for the things that I have seen. But I'll tell you what I'm really thankful for. I'm thankful that there was a spirit in a Joshua that the Lord spoke to him and said, you know what, honey? There's more land to walk through. How much revelation of the revelation do you want to see? It's true. Huh? Amen. How much do you want to enjoy? I appreciated hearing about that cup again this weekend. How much of that cup? How full? How running over? Well, I'll tell you one thing. When he said filled with all the fullness of God, I believe him. I believe him. And I don't think that there's anything short of what he means that he won't give you. And that's the truth. And I'll tell you what, I come to him and I said, well, Lord, you said it. You said this. You said it's mine. You got to possess it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just possess it. Possess the land. Well, it's my inheritance. I just got, oh, Joshua told him, he said, well, you go on out there, and when you can describe it, you come on back here. Can you describe it? Man, I'll tell you what, we can't only describe it. We're there. Walk through it. Amen. And someday, it's just going to whoop. And it will be just a walk right in. And I always appreciate what John Hill told me. He said, oh, honey, we're not going to have to wonder how, what we're going to do. Now you hear people say, well, what am I going to do in heaven? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? But John said, oh, we're going to just enter in. We're just going to enter in. How you going to rule and reign? I'm doing it right now. I'm just going to enter in. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Sure love you. Now, don't go speeding home. You take your time. And Jesus, take us safely to our houses tonight. All right. Praise God. Let's stand, be dismissed.